नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम् थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 12 क्रिएशन ऑफ द कुमारस एंड अदर टेक्स्ट 44-47। ओके, दे डोंट हैव द परपोर्ट्स, सो आई विल रीड देम थ्रू। 44-46 आई विल रीड एंड देन 47 हैज बीन रिटन ऑन द बोर्ड। आन्निक्षिकी त्रयी वार्ता दंड नीति तथैव च एवं व्यर्हित चश्चाशन प्रणव ही अस्य दहृतः। द साइंस ऑफ लॉजिकल आर्गुमेंट, द वेदिक गोल्स ऑफ लाइफ एंड ऑल्सो लो also law I'm sorry and also law and order, moral codes, and the celebrated hymns Bhu, Bhuva and Swa all became manifested from the mouths of Brahma, and the pranav Omkar was manifested from his heart. Tashushni galiso madhyo gayatri cha tacho vibho trishtum mang trishtubham sat स्नुतो अस्नु स्नुतो नुष्ट जगत्यस्तत्न प्रजापते। Thereafter, the art of literary expression, उष्णिक, was generated from the hairs of the body of the almighty Prajapati. The principal Vedic hymn Gayatri was generated from the skin. Trishtup from the flesh, Anushtup from the veins, and Jagati from the bones of the Lord of the living entities. Majjaya Panktir Utpanya Brihati Pranato Bhaya Bhavat. The art of writing verse, Pankti, became manifested from the bone marrow, and that of Brihati, another type of verse, was generated from the life breath of the Lord of the living entities. So now we came to text 47. Sparshastasya bhavaj jivaha swaro deha udarhita ushmanam indriyannahu antastha balamatmanah स्वरा सप्त बिहारेण भवन्ति स्म प्रजापतेः। स्पर्शास्तस्य भवत् जीवा स्वरो देह उदारहिता उष्मानम् इन्द्रियन्याहु अन्तस्था बलमात्मनः स्वरा सप्त विहारेण भवन्ति स्म प्रजापतेः। स्पर्शस्तस्य भवत् जीवः स्वरो देह उदारहितः उष्मानम् इन्द्रियन्याहु अन्तस्था बलमात्मनः स्वरा सप्त विहारेण शांति स्म प्रजापते स्पर्श द सेट ऑफ लेटर्स फ्रॉम क टू म तस्य हिज अभवत बिकेम जीवः द सोल स्वरः वावल्स देह हिज बॉडी उदारितः एज आर एक्सप्रेस्ड उष्मानम द लेटर्स स श एंड ह Indriyani, the senses, Ahu, are called Antastha. The set of letters, so known, Ya, Ra, La and Va. Balam, energy, Atmanaha, of his self, Swaraha, music, Sapta, seven, Biharena, by the sensual activities, Bhavanti Sma, became manifested, Prajapatehe, of the Lord of the Living Entities. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Brahma's soul was manifested as the touch alphabets, his body as the vowels, his senses as the sibilant alphabets, his strength as the intermediate alphabets, and his sensual activities as the seven notes of music. Please repeat. Brahma's soul was manifested, as the touch alphabets. His body as the vowels. His senses as the sibilant alphabets. His strength as the intermediate alphabet. And his sensual activities as the seven notes of music. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Sanskrit, there are 13 vowels and 35 consonants. The vowels are A, A, E, E, U, U, Ri, Ri, Li, A, Oi, O, O. I'm sure you all know that. And the consonants are ka, kha, ga, gha, etc. Amongst the consonants, the first 25 letters are called the sparshas. There are also four antastha. Of the ushmas, there are three S's called talibya, murdhanna and danta. The musical notes are sare, gama, padhani. All these sound vibrations are originally called Shabda Brahma or spiritual sound. It is said, therefore, that Brahma was created in the Mahakalpa as the incarnation of spiritual sound. The Vedas are spiritual sound, and therefore there is no need to material interpretation of the sound vibration of the Vedic literature. The Vedas should be vibrated as they are, although they are symbolically represented with letters which are known to us materially. In the ultimate issue, there is nothing material because everything has its origin in the spiritual world. The material manifestation is therefore called illusion in the proper sense of the term. For those who are realized souls, there is nothing but spirit. Sparshas tasya bhavaj jiva swaro deha udarhita ushmanam indriyan nahur antastha balamatmanah swara sapta biharena bhavanti sma prajapate. Brahma's soul was manifested as the touch alphabets, his body as the vowels, his senses as the sibilant alphabets, his strength as the intermediate alphabets, and his sensual activities as the seven notes of music. So who is Brahma? So Brahma is the sound. The Vedas, now this sound is, what is the sound? The sound is the manifestation of Vedas in the form of the sound. But then again, that sound is a personality. Brahma is a personality. It is not that just sound without any form or any personality or consciousness. Actually, in this way we have to understand that the spiritual manifestation or the spiritual energy of the Lord first became manifested in this material nature in the form of sound. At the beginning, there was only sound. Actually, Bible also admits that. Bible says at the beginning there was sound. So that sound, now here we are saying the sound is manifest. How is the sound manifested? The sound is first manifested in the form of the alphabets. And the sounds have been divided. In English, there are only two divisions, consonants and vowels. A, E, I, O, U. In English, there is only five vowels. And A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, etc., 26 consonants. But the Vedas are a lot more definite. There are 13 vowels in the Vedas. And there are 35 consonants. So 13 vowels are O, A, E, E, A, Oi, Ri, Ri, A, Oi, O, O. These 13. So there they have 5 and we have 13. And instead of 26, we have 35. Out of 35, 25 are called sparshavarnas. Sparsha means touch. The tongue is just touching those sound vibrations. Like ka, kha, ga, gha, up to ma. And they also have been divided into 5 categories, 5 vargas. Ka varga, kha, cha varga, ka cha ta varga, and ka cha ta, and then pa varga. So last varga is pa. This pa varga is pa, 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 ma. Then there are antastha varga, the antastha varnas. Ya, ya, and then ya, ya, la, and ba. Must have been mentioned somewhere anyway. And then there are sibilant ones. They are the S's, 3 S's. Talibesya, talibash, talibya, talabhyasa, murdhanasya, and dantasya. There are 3 types of S's. One is talabha. Talu means the palate, palatal S. When it's touching the palate and the sound is made, sha, then there is sha. Sha, talabha. Then murdha. Murdha is the brain. Another sha sound is coming from the brain actually. and then they are, and there is danta. And then there are the seven musical notes: sa ri ga ma pa tha ni. So all the sound actually falls in this category: vowels, consonant, and the musical notes. Then the musical notes also is divided into different categories. And now here we are getting some very wonderful information that the Brahma soul is manifested as the touch alphabets. Brahma soul became manifest as the touch alphabets. Touch alphabets are ka to ma. Then Brahma's body as the vowels. Brahma's soul is the touch alphabets. Brahma's body is the vowels. And the consonants his senses are the sibilant alphabets. His senses are the sas. His strength are the intermediate alphabets or antastha varnas. And his activities as the seven notes of music. So when we sing, what should be the, what are the songs actually? The songs are meant to be Vedic hymns. Initially the song was Vedic hymns. In the those days there was no Bollywood songs or film songs or romantic songs. There was only what was music was sung in the form of the Vedic hymns, or Vedic hymns were sung in the form of music. Even in the recent past, Vedic music was actually music was based on Veda. There was Drupad and Dhamar. All they are known as Shastriya Sangeet. The music used to be Shastriya. But then when the Muslims came, they actually used the music for sense gratification. And this Shastriya Sangeet then became another kind of classical music, which is known as Khayal, Thumri, Geet, Ghazal, Tappa, etc. So in this way, it is only due to the foreign invasions that music became degenerated. Otherwise, the music used to be very, very systematic and scientific presentation of the Vedic hymns. Ragas. What are the ragas? Ragas generally means the mood. When you are praying to them, and the Vedic hymns means prayer to the Lord. Now we pray to the Lord with different moods, and the mood also changes during the time of the day. In the morning the mood is in some way, and in the evening the moods are different. And those moods will be indicated by different notes. Different nodes would actually systematically arrange the mood, and all the moods, ragas, will be presented with those notes only. Say the ragas that certain, the notes that certain raga has, will always follow that, those notes. They won't change. So this is how scientific it was. And when the when the foreign invaders came, entered into India, they found that India to be such a wonderful country, such a beautiful country. Those invaders generally came from desert lands. Actually, the invaders always tried to occupy India or come to India or loot India. But they never succeeded. Because the Indian kings were so powerful that they just drove them. Just like some thieves try to come, and as soon as the people in the house make some sound, who is there? Immediately the thieves will run away. So that used to be the situation in the past. The Indian rulers were so powerful, the Kshatriya kings were so powerful that no invader could ever come to India. Although from other countries they came, but they could not enter into India. And Indian rulers were so powerful, although some thieves would sometimes come, but as soon as they would make a noise or they would... And sometimes they catch the thieves and beat them up so bad, they'll never think of coming back again. The trouble started only after Kali Yuga began. Because due to the influence of the age of Kali, the Varnashram system became defunct. Varnashram system disintegrated. The Varnashram system got destroyed. And when Varnashram system got destroyed, the Indian society became weak. The Varnashram system actually made the society very strong. The Brahmanas were the head of the society, they were situated in knowledge. The Kshatriyas were physically very powerful. They would give protection and establish law and order, maintain law and order. Vaishyas were very active and adventurous and dutiful. They would go to distant places, bring all the wealth, and they would cultivate land, they would produce food, they would give protection to the cows and get milk. And in this way the society was very prosperous. The society used to be, the Vedic society used to be full of prosperity. And then the Sudras were working. They were very skilled people. But they used to work under the guidance of the three higher classes of Varnas. Three higher Varnas. They themselves were not capable of doing anything, but they were guided by the higher class, and they were the servants. But when Kali Yuga began, Kali Yuga actually destroyed the Varnashram Dharma. Kali first entered through the Brahmanas. Kali made Sringi, the Brahmana boy, to curse Parikshit Maharaj. And as a result of that, the degeneration started. The Brahmanas became independent, and Brahmanas became, the Brahmanas lost their Brahminical culture. Instead of being situated in the mode of goodness, they started to indulge in the mode of passion and ignorance. And another consideration is that in order to destroy the age of Kali, in order to destroy the Vedic culture in the age of Kali, Kali, who is actually controlling everything, he made some demons take birth in the Brahminical families, and through them they destroyed the Brahminical culture. And then when the Brahmanas lost their Brahminical qualities, the Kshatriyas didn't want to follow them. Kshatriyas thought, why should he follow these useless people? And when the Kshatriyas were not following the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas became independent. And when a king, when a ruler, powerful ruler becomes independent, then he becomes very cruel most of the time. He becomes a tyrant. He begins to exploit his citizens. And in this way, the Kshatriyas lost their responsibility. Kshatriyas lost their quality. And when there was no Kshatriya to give the protection, when the Kshatriyas began to fight among themselves. Yeah, first they became sense enjoyers. They were simply concerned about their sense gratification. Actually, the Kshatriyas are into sense gratification by nature. Mode of passion leads to sense gratification. But along with this sense gratifying, Kshatriyas were guided by the Brahmanas, controlled by the Brahmanas. They couldn't become independent. And this control was done with proper advice. The Brahmanas used to tell the Kshatriyas that, or advise the Kshatriyas, guide the Kshatriyas with the understanding that everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they are just the caretakers of the of their kingdom. The kingdom was not their property. The kingdom is actually Krishna's property. Ishavashyam idam sarvam. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And with this understanding, the Kshatriyas used to rule their kingdom with an attitude that they are the caretaker. They are not the proprietors, but they are the caretakers. The proprietor is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and they are just the caretakers. And as caretakers, they have to manage, control, and give protection. Take care of everybody in the citizen, in the kingdom. So in this way, the Kshatriyas were ruling their kingdom because of the proper guidance and advice and instructions of the Brahmanas. But when the Kshatriyas rejected the Brahmanas, and because the Brahmanas became unqualified, then the Kshatriyas started to feel that these are my property. My kingdom is my property. They didn't think at that time that they forgot that their kingdom is not their property. Their fathers and forefathers never considered that this kingdom was their property. They always treated the property, the kingdom, as Krishna's property. But they started to feel that it's their property. And when they started to feel that it's their property, then they got involved in sense gratification. Very intense sense gratification, and on the other hand, they started to fight with each other unnecessarily. They're fighting with each other. And it's natural that they would fight, because these people, influenced by the mode of passion, were very proud. And they could not tolerate any insult. If somebody insulted, they would immediately go and fight with that person. And when they got involved in fighting like this among themselves, they became weak. And then the invaders now could come into the country. One of the first invaders in India who succeeded was actually Muhammad Ghori. Muhammad Ghori attacked India 17 times. And Prithviraj, who was in that border protecting India from foreign invasions, Prithviraj was defending Prithviraj Chauhan. And 17 times Prithviraj defeated Muhammad Ghori and drove him out. And Muhammad Bukhari was so insistent that he just kept on attacking, coming and attacking. He would become defeated, he would go back, gather his strength, greater strength, and come and attack. Again he'd be defeated. He would then again gather his army and again come back and attack. In this way 17 times he attacked. But Prithviraj was so strong that he could not, Muhammad Ghori could not do anything to him. But then Muhammad Ghori took an advantage of Prithviraj's, found out that Prithviraj had some conflict with Jai Chand, another king in Rajasthan. And so he made a pact with Jai Chand that let us attack Prithviraj together. And this attack was so uncertain, unforeseen, that in this attack Prithviraj was defeated. Because it was a treacherous attack. When he was fighting with Muhammad Ghori from another side, Jai Chand came and all of a sudden attacked him. And the army was not prepared for that attack. It's a very well known fact that Prithviraj was defeated, he was killed in the battlefield. And Padmini, his wife, Muhammad Ghori had his eye on his wife. Padmini was the most celebrated beauty at that time. So Padmini knew that now these Muslims would come and try to take her. So Padmini became a sati. And not only her, all the women in that royal family, they all became satis. They gave the birth, they lit a fire, entered into the fire and gave up their bodies. And this is the first time a foreigner could enter into India. Well, how? Because taking advantage of the conflict between between two Indian kings, they could actually enter. Now this is how we can see how Kali actually enters. Kali enters in the form of quarrel. Kali makes people fight, and through taking advantage of their conflict, Kali enters. Kali weakens them and then Kali starts to spread his influence. Karala vadana krudha kalishcha kalaha priya. Kali's description has been given in the scripture in this way. Karala vadana, Kali's face is very cruel, very ugly, very frightening. And krudha, Kali's nature is very crooked. Krudha. And kalishcha kalaha priya. Kalaha means quarrel. And Kali is very fond of quarrel. Kali makes everyone fight. And in this way, the society becomes divided. Human society becomes divided. And then Kali can very easily use his influence. So in this way we can see how in the age of Kali, the Vedic culture gradually got destroyed. Vedic culture is the civilized human culture. Vedic culture is the civilized human culture. And what does this culture do? This culture uplifts living entities to the spiritual platform and leads the entire human society to the spiritual world. But because of Kali, that possibility has been very badly hurt. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to re-establish the Vedic culture. So when we have proper understanding, everything becomes so easy to understand. When the proper knowledge is there, when proper guidance is there, then we can understand why things are happening in a certain way. So that is why it is very, very important that the intelligent class of people in this world take up this responsibility to re-establish the Vedic culture for the benefit of the whole world. It is not that when we are establishing Vedic culture, we are establishing something Indian. No. What we are actually establishing is the proper human civilized system of existence. Civilized system. The way the civilized human being should exist, that culture is being established by establishing Vedic culture. And in that culture, everybody benefits. When you get to understand that Isha Vasham Idam Sarvam, everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then automatically we give up our false sense of proprietorship. Nothing belongs to me. What belongs to me? Nothing belongs to me. Everything belongs to me. But, jat kincha jagatan jagat. Although Krishna is the Supreme Proprietor, He is providing for everybody. Just like in a family, the father is the proprietor, but the father takes care of everybody. Not only he takes care of his children, he takes care of anyone who is involved with him, even the servants. Not only the servants, even the guests. If anyone is hungry, a generous householder would say, "Okay, I can see that you are a new face here. You must be traveling. Where did you come from?" "Oh, I came from such and such place. I'm just traveling in a pilgrimage." "Oh, please come and take food in my house." We see this culture in Indian villages still today. I remember that when I used to go to Radhakund or Varsana, Govardhan, those days, in a small group sometimes I used to go, and when we would be doing that, especially during the afternoon, people, the village people would come and ask, "Please take food in my house." And initially I used to think probably they want some money, that's why they are offering food like that. But then I realized, actually, when somebody was insisting to go, so finally I went to his house. And he served, nice. Just simple chapati, sabji, dal. Roti, chapati, roti, sabji, dal. But very delicious. And then after that, when I tried to give him some money, he was very upset. He felt very upset that we are offering him money for his hospitality. So this is the Vedic culture. In this culture, no one starves. Everything is there in abundance. And these village people in Govardhan or Varshana, they are not rich people. They are very simple village people. They don't have much. But they have. They have their land. They cultivate the land. But they are so generous. So this is the Vedic culture. So when this culture is properly established, naturally the society will benefit. And then along with that comes such profound knowledge. How the spiritual energy gradually became, this is the creation, sub-creation that is being described. The sarga and then visarga. Sarga is the creation. How the universes are generated, Mahavishnu lying in the causal ocean, and through his breathing, the universes are generated. Then he enters, Vishnu entered into each universe as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. And then he entered into every body, every living entity's heart as Kshiradakshayi Vishnu. super soul. That is the creation aspect. And then sub-creation, Visarga aspect is the creation that started from Brahma onwards. And here also we are seeing how systematic, how scientific this understanding is. Everything has been so systematically analyzed. And when we become enriched with this knowledge, then not only we become uplifted, those who are around us also become benefited from it. So this is how the human society can move towards actual prosperity. But when they reject that culture, then they destroy everything. People today cannot imagine what they are actually doing. They are destroying the whole planet. The whole planet is in a very precarious condition. We are seeing that the rivers are becoming dry. There is a shortage of water. There is no rain. In Ujjain there is a huge problem. Shortage of rain, shortage of water. Now people are expecting that, well, in the month of June the monsoon will start. If there is no water, if there is no rain, what will happen? The weather is changing. Then there is global warming. The ozone layer is being affected. People are cutting the trees. And the oxygen supply is being depleted. And they're pumping in all kinds of carbon dioxide through their motor cars, through their engines. Everywhere there are so many cars. And what these cars are doing? Cars are burning petrol. And what is coming into the atmosphere? Carbon dioxide. So how can they expect that this planet is not going to be affected? The glaciers are melting. The Himalayas, I haven't been there myself for a long time, but some expert was giving his opinion that Himalayas mountain is actually filled with soots. Like when you get black soots in our temple room, we see that coming from the burning of the lamp. Sometimes the whole ceiling becomes black, so we have to now paint it or scrape it. That's what is happening in Himalaya. Himalaya is not white anymore, it's becoming black. And not only that, now it's melting. Because of the global warming, good part of the planet, especially in the poles, they are all ice. Now when this ice melts, it's not only 1 kilo, 2 kilo ice, it's millions of tons of icebergs. If they start to melt, if they're melting, then what will happen? The water level will rise in the ocean. And then all kinds of destructive destruction will start happening. But they are not concerned about that. No one is doing anything about it. Especially the governments are not at all concerned. Only some small groups here and there are trying to do something. And the green movement and things like that. Some people are creating some awareness, but who cares? Now for how long it will last, this planet? Another 20 years, 30 years? What's going to happen to our next generation? Maybe in 20 years, 30 years we'll be dead. Or almost dead. So if death comes at that time, it won't matter to us so much to us. But what about our children who have their whole life ahead of them? Now, this is the world situation. What is the solution? There's only one solution. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva Nasteva Nasteva. Besides chanting the holy name of the Lord, there is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Kaler Doshe Nidhe Rajan Asti Hi Eko Mahan Guna Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangaparam Prajit. Although Kali Yuga is a very dangerous state, very dangerous period of time, but it has one good advantage, one great advantage. Asti Hi Eko Mahan Guna. And Kirtanadeva Krishnasya. Just by chanting the glory of the Lord, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukta Sangaparam Prajit. One can become free from the adverse effects of the age of Kali. So that is the only way. We have to have faith in these instructions and hold on to this process with all sincerity. What is happening, we shouldn't be worried so much. Just keep chanting the holy name. You chant the holy name, ask others to chant the holy name. And when you do that, Krishna will take care. Krishna takes care. When one surrenders to Krishna, Krishna will take care. But we have to surrender. Those who are surrendered, Krishna will take care. Those who don't surrender, why Krishna will take care? Krishna may take care, but Krishna is not obliged to take care of them. They are dependent upon their karma. As they are acting accordingly, they will get the result. When I was told about the scarcity of water in Ujjain, I told, okay, let's have a Sankharinam for 3 days. So, somebody was asking, so will there be rain after that? I said, I don't care whether there will be rain or whether the water will come from the top or from the bottom. The consideration is the Lord will supply the water. Then some people question, then why there is no, why the problem is not solved? You did Harinam, you said that there will be solution. My question is, how many of you came and joined the Harinam? You never came. So why should you get the benefit? You never came, so why should you get the benefit? So you are suffering. But look at us, we have enough supply of water. We have so much supply of water that we are supplying. That is the benefit of the holy, chanting of the holy. The water is not coming from the top, but water is coming from the bottom. The question is whether water comes. Yes, we didn't have any scarcity of water. And the condition will become even more dangerous. But we know, if we take shelter of the holy name of the Lord, if we take shelter of the Lord will give protection. Even in the middle of the desert, there will be food for the devotees. That is how the Lord takes care of the devotees. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanandi, Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? At a time like this, I miss Krishnarchan. Yes.
Guru, some people say that Prithviraj Chauhan belongs to the family of Pandav, the same clan. Is it true?
I don't know. I didn't go to the genealogy as far as that.
Right. There is a last Hindu king, and he would belong to the family of Parikshit Maharaj, the same land. Some Rajputs say that they are.
Actually, all the Rajputs are from Surya Vamsa. They are all either Surya Vamsa or Chandra Vamsa. So, being in the same family line as the Pandavas would actually mean Chandra Vamsa. So, could have been? I don't really know. Any other question from the internet?
I think it's
coming.
Okay.
Yes, Swami.
Maharaj, as you told that the Lord provides food in the desert, so if Lord personally take care or through nature, he
go to the desert. First is surrender. First is surrender, and then see how he takes care. He can do anything, right? He can do anything.
When we say to somebody that take shelter of holy name and Krishna will provide you everything, your distress condition will be over. But after that, they take shelter of holy name and their problem is solved. But if their problem is not solved, then how can we answer them? That why this problem has not been solved despite of taking shelter of holy name?
Then you see, how the problem will be solved, that is up to Krishna. That's not up to us to decide. If we question, that means how we are lacking in faith. But we can see in the past that it's not that for when one becomes a devotee of the Lord, everything becomes so smooth and easygoing and wonderful for them. Rather, sometimes the devotees go through some apparent difficulties. But devotees do not become affected by that. For example, the Pandavas. Duryodhana was enjoying, Pandavas were suffering in the forest. Right? So, the one may question that why the Pandavas had to suffer. Right? But the Pandavas never question. Oh Krishna, we are your devotees, why we are suffering? They just accept it. Wonderful. Krishna wants us to go to the forest. Let's go. Krishna himself lives in the forest in Vrindavan. So if we go to the forest, that will give us an opportunity to actually come close to Krishna. That is how a devotee would feel. And sometimes if there is some scarcity, then the devotee will consider, all this while Krishna gave me so much that I was overeating. Now Krishna wants me to fast. So this is how a devotee sees everything as Krishna's mercy. And everything is actually Krishna's divine arrangement. Nothing happens by chance or accident. Right? And the ultimate consideration is that what happens at the end, not what happens at the beginning, not what happens at the middle, in the middle, but what happens at the end. Now we see, like if we go back to that same situation, Pandavas and Kauravas. The Kauravas were enjoying, but were they actually enjoying? They were in the palace, but Duryodhana couldn't sleep at night. Kamsa couldn't sleep at night. He was living in constant fear and anxiety. Now, if you are living in a palace but cannot sleep, is it a nice way to live? But if you are living in a hut and sleeping very peacefully, isn't that much better than living in a palace? So, and then ultimately what happens? Duryodhana with his family is finished, destroyed. Whereas the Pandavas, they became the rulers. Ravana, with his whole family got destroyed. But the devotees became prosperous.
Two questions, Guru. First, from Bhakti Kerala Madhari, she was asking, there was an incident here today. I had started a garden for the Lord in the shape of a lotus. Someone came and knowing that it was for the Lord, he purposely caused damage by pulling up the plants. I have been taught to tolerate, but about this I felt some emotion. How should I view this?
Anyway, at least you can report it to the temple authorities or the devotees who are who could take care of that person and let them take care of him. So sometimes the demons will come and cause some damage, but you have to see what is the best way to prevent them and save the property of the Lord.
Next question from Aishwarya Radhika Mataji. Guru Maharaj, how to become peerless? I know that the holy name can make me, but still sometimes it is very, very difficult to overcome fear.
How to overcome?
How to become fearless.
Fearless.
And I know that the holy name can make me, but still sometimes it is very difficult to overcome fear.
The best way to become fearless is by taking shelter of the most powerful. When you are in shelter of the most powerful one, then can anybody cause any damage to you? And if there is no one can actually harm you, then what's the point in what's the possibility of becoming afraid? So take shelter of Krishna and have full faith in Krishna, and you'll see automatically that how Krishna takes care, how Krishna gives protection. So by taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only you can become fearless, not otherwise. Yes, sir.
The magicians, they are taking shelter of these seven nodes of the Brahman. So if they are very much busy in that, so that is only enough, or they should take shelter of?
Are they taking shelter of the Shabda Brahma or taking shelter of the shadow of the Shabda Brahma? If they are taking shelter of the Shabda Brahma, that is wonderful. If they are singing the Vedic song, Vedic hymns, yes, then they are spiritually situated. But if they are singing Bollywood songs or khayal or ghazal, then it is Maya. Yes.
I have people asking me that why should they chant in these beads and not on whatever beads they have at home, which have been chanted by some other devata or something.
Yeah. You can chant anyway. You can even chant counting in your fingers. You can chant even counting in your clickers. The purpose of using that is to keep the count. And shankha purvaka, navaganana. Let me explain. But the advantage of chanting in Tulasi is Tulasi Krishna Prayasi. Tulasi is very dear to Krishna. So when you take shelter of Tulasi and chant, then Krishna becomes more favorably disposed. Right? And that is the thing. Because Tulsi is very dear to Krishna and you take shelter of Tulsi, then Krishna becomes pleased. That is why.
So these beads, I should tell them that they are of Tulsi.
Yeah. The thing is that one should not chant on Tulsi before initiation. Tulsi should be chant Tulsi in Tulsi only after initiation, that is when one is very strictly following. If one is not strictly following, then better that they don't chant in Tulasi.
Okay.
Then initially we give neem or some other beads, or some other wooden beads. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.